I am so excited about our second speaker as well, Kaylee Baxter. My wife wants me to move this back a little. Kaylee leads is a leader in our college and career as well as with the youth, and she is deep waters, and so you are going to be so blessed by Kaylee. Kaylee, we love you.
Good morning, everybody. It is really a privilege to be up here. This conference really means a lot to me. I've been coming to church here for about 5 years now, I think. And God brought me here to teach me intimacy, 100%. And I'm just up here to share with you what he has been revealing to me and drawing me into you over the past few years. My journey into intimacy with God started at this conference, I don't know, 3-4 years ago now, I think, which I'll share a little bit more about later. But first, I would like to start by reading Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So I have a question for you all, and I want you to grab onto the first answer that comes to your mind. Why are you a Christian? Is it because you know Christianity is true? You know God is your Savior, that you have to repent and put your trust in him? Or is it because you cannot live without the presence of God? Is there any point to your life if Jesus is not in it? Is your primary reason knowledge or relationship? And disclaimer, I don't want to discredit knowledge of God. That is essential for your Christian walk. You need to know why you believe what you believe. It's how you discern truth from error. But if your relationship begins and ends with knowledge, you are missing something. And Psalm 63 describes this something more, something deeper. This psalm is the outpouring of David's heart to God. And my first point is desiring God. So I started reading the Psalms back in January, and I got stuck on Psalm 63. I mean, literally stuck. Every time I opened my Bible to continue reading, I just read Psalm 63 again. And then it happened the next day. I open it up, and I just read Psalm 63 again. And it's kind of been going on all year. I am just captivated and enthralled by David's language towards God, towards the desperation I hear in the words he uses. As I was reading, I just kept getting drawn to the verbs that I see him using. And verses 1 and 2, David is like describing his present state. I'm going to murder some Hebrew words now. I was gonna look them up this morning to like hear how they're pronounced, and then I started worshiping and I forgot. So I'm just gonna wing it. So first, we see that David seeks for God early. It's the first thing he does. The word seeks is sahar. It means to be up early at a task, to search for with painstaking, to inquire early, to seek diligently. I really like the thought of just searching for with painstaking. Like this, it's not just seeking. It is seeking diligently. It's almost a painful process. It is a process that he is committed to. It sounds very obsessive. Like if you wake up every morning thinking about the same thing, desiring the same thing, like you're a little obsessed with it. And we see next that David thirsts and longs for God. instead of in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. What stronger image can you think of to describe desire than a dying man in a desert without water to drink? Like, David equates his desire for God with that of a dying man. Like, this is the strongest metaphor that he can come up with. It's as strong as the desire to live. The reason that he seeks God early is because he wakes up thirsty and he must satisfy his thirst. And what does he do to satisfy his thirst? He looks for God in the sanctuary, the place where God resides. Like, this is obvious, this is before the Holy Spirit. Like, where is the presence of God? It's in the sanctuary. And the word looks is haza. To perceive, to gaze at, to, this is my favorite, to contemplate with pleasure, to behold. Like, he comes into the sanctuary to contemplate God with pleasure. This is something he enjoys. This is something that consumes his being. And what is it that he is looking for in the sanctuary? He desires to see God's power and glory, the Shekinah glory Pastor Tom was just talking about, which is very fitting. The word see is, I don't know how to say this one, ra'ah or something like that. And it's to behold, to consider, to discern. This is to joyfully look on. And for him, the glory of God, his power and his glory, his manifest presence is something that he joyfully looks on. Like, this is the outcry of David's heart. I long for you. I thirst for you. I need you. I must be in your presence. I must see your power and your glory. This is my pleasure. This is my joy. Now, a little background for this psalm. This psalm was written in the wilderness. I thought Cheyenne's title of her message was very fitting, Finding God in the Wilderness, because that's exactly what happened to David. Most scholars think this was written before he was king, when Saul was hunting him. So David is homeless. He has to hunt for his food. Maybe he has a bed, maybe he doesn't. Saul, someone he trusted, is trying to kill him. Like, if there's ever a time to feel abandoned, to be in the cave of depression, as Elijah was, this would be a good time. But this psalm does not say, God help me. Not that that's wrong. Like, David has written plenty of God help me songs. Like, there's quite a few of them. But this, not this time. He writes, I thirst and I long for you. I desire to behold your glory. That is what is on his mind right now. Which I think shows the purpose of the wilderness. Out of desperation comes desire. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3 say, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And Hosea 2:14 says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. God brings people into the wilderness. Sometimes, a lot of the time, I think. When we are desperate, we are vulnerable. We are humble. And that's when we encounter God. And I think no one understood this better than David. His time in the wilderness only increased his desire for God, only increased his longing, his desperate cry for his presence. And imagine being away from the temple. Like, imagine not feeling the Holy Spirit for an extended period of time. It's awful. Like, when you have tasted of that, you don't want to be away from that. He has no access to the temple. He has no access to the presence of God. He is far away, and that is just, like, absence makes the heart go fonder, right? I feel like that was, like, what he's experiencing is just how much he just wanted to be there again. Then we come to point two, which is declarations to God. And we see a radical shift in David's language from verses 1 and 2 to verses 3 through 8. He goes from describing his present state, just the desperation and desire that he feels. And he shifts into what I'm calling declarations or verbs of praise. To declare is to make known, to manifest, to announce officially, which is what I feel like he's doing here. And I just want to read quick these declarations that he's making. My lips shall praise you. I will bless you. I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be satisfied. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I meditate on you. In the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. David's desires and passions, we see, are like converted into action. He has to praise God. He can't just say, I long for you. He has to praise him as well. And why? Why will his lips praise him? Why does he say, I will bless you and I will lift up my hands? Because his loving kindness is better than life. Like, what a statement to make, that this one single attribute of God is greater than his own life, his own being. So it's just one of his attributes. And then he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Like, again, what a thing to say. Is my soul satisfied? Am I satisfied with the presence of God? He says, I meditate on you when I remember you, which is every morning and all day long, I think. He says, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Why? Because you have been my help. He has tasted the goodness of God in the desert when he was crying out for a drink, in the places of desperation, and he cannot help but then seeing his praise. This is just the logical action for him. Because you have been my help, I will praise you. You cannot taste of him and his goodness and not come away changed. And this has led me to examine my own heart and how it is postured to God. What are my declarations? What is the outcry of my heart? Do I desire to see the face of God? Do I crave his nearness? What do my conversations with God look like? What is he hearing from me when I talk to him? And point three is taste and see that the Lord is good, which is from another psalm of David's, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So let's go back to the original question. Why are you a Christian? How do we go from knowing of God to knowing God? You ask. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And Matthew 7:7-11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, I want to talk a little bit about my journey in this. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I always believed in God. I was completely convinced he was real. And I knew the Bible well. I grew up in a family where we studied constantly. I could argue theology. I would argue with adults about Calvinism and all kinds of things. Like, I enjoyed it. But I knew all about God, but I did not know him at all. I had no idea who he really was. I mean, like, I know God's love, yeah, all that stuff, but like, I don't know what God is love actually means. And I spent a very long time living a very distant life from him, very self-absorbed, wishing I was different, wishing I was closer, wishing I knew him and I was like the super Christians or those people, you know, who seem to have it all figured out. I'm like, I don't know how to get there. I have no clue. And it took me a long time to realize how a performance-based faith I had, that it was all that I had God like this, because I didn't think he would want it to come any closer. I really didn't. If you'd asked me that, I wouldn't have said, well, I know God wants to be close, but I didn't believe it. I did not believe it. And I didn't really believe that he would love me. Me. But I was desperate for a change in my life. I was desperate for something different. And it was at this conference a few years ago. I was at the altar, kneeling down, just wanting his presence, but how do I get there? Where, how do I enter? I can't get there. And I'm an extremely visual person. I think in pictures. And in that moment of just being unable to communicate with words, not having the words to say, I just pictured myself in this little courtyard, like a set from The Chosen, like in ancient Israel. In the evening, it's dusk, and Jesus is back there. And I just walk in, and I sit at his feet. And I don't say anything because I don't know what to say. And I sit down. And in that moment, I felt the presence of God like I had never felt before. All of this time, I have been striving to enter in. What is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to repent of? Will you let me come close to you? And all he wanted was me to just sit at his feet. He just wanted me to sit with him. And I didn't even have to say anything. And that moment changed everything. Everything that I thought I knew, everything that I thought I knew about God, it was just, this was a God who wanted me. Who wanted me close to him. This was a God. When I tasted that moment, I could not go back. I could not let go of it. I had to have more. I needed more. And I began pursuing God in a way that I hadn't before. Before it was like I was in the dark looking for him and just running into things and knocking things over and just like trying to find the light switch. In a room I'd never been in before. That's what it felt like. I couldn't find the light switch. And then it was like he grabbed my hand and put it on the light switch and turned the light on. And suddenly I could find my way. And ever since, I have been chasing him, not nearly as hard as he's been chasing me. But this time I can see him. And the last few years, I have just been radically transformed. And he has, instead of always being the person who needed help, I am now also helping. I mean, I still need help, but I'm also helping others. And I am seeing God use me of all people. I am being used. And I am seeing him move and work and change people and seeing people be healed. And it's like, I just want more. I want to see more. And in that closeness with him that I've developed and where I've just learned to love worship, to just love, like, I just want to worship all day long. I just want to be there all day long. And in that closeness, that has changed my language to him. My language has changed. I don't pray like I used to, because now when I sit down and pray, I just like, I just want to be close to you. I just want to see you. I want to see your face and touch your hands and your feet. I want to behold your glory. I want to see the light of your glory. This is what I long for. This is what I need. This is what I desire. Please let me come closer. Give me more. And that is now the outcry of my heart. I'm still desperate, but it's a desperation for more. I need more. I want more. I want more of your spirit. I want to be sitting at your feet all day long, each and every day, no matter what I'm doing. That is my dwelling place. That is my home. And there's no place that I would rather be. I can sing that song now. And it's true. All the songs that I used to sing, and I was like, well, someday, maybe. Now it's true. And my understanding of him has shifted so, so much. And it's all because I sat with him. And that's what I'm just up here to tell of you, that right now, he is pursuing you. He is seeking you. He wants fellowship with you. He delights in you. You are his beloved. You are his beloved. And he is saying, come sit with me. Dine with me. Like just the other day, I just sat down and was like, do you want to eat supper with me? Like, you can sit over there. Like, let's just sit and let's just chat. Like, that's what he wants, is a heart that is so utterly in love with him, that delights in him, that is operating out of a place of delight, that is living in a place of delight, not in a place of striving, not in a place of working, not in a place of earning, but out of a place of delight. I delight in you, and everything I do is because of that. Nothing I do is to make you happier with me. I can't do that. Everything I do is because I just want to please you. I just want to do whatever you want to do. I just want to see you smile. I just want to see you smile because I love you. I love you. I love you. It's not complicated. It's not hard. Fellowship with him really isn't hard. We make it hard. We do this. You sure you want to sit with me right now? You know what I was thinking 2 seconds ago. He's like, yes, you sit with me and you won't be thinking that anymore. So I just want to pray for all of you right now. Maybe your faith is knowledge-based. Maybe that's just where you've been, as you know it's true and you believe it. But you have not really tasted him. Tasted and seen that he is good. And maybe you have. Maybe you have tasted of that. Maybe you have tasted his manifest presence, but maybe you're back in the desert and you are thirsty. You are so, so thirsty for a drink. You just want a drink. Just one little drop of his presence is all you're asking for. And he's saying, I'll give you a lot more than that if you will just sit with me and receive it. So, Father, you are so wonderful and beautiful, and your love is something we really can't comprehend. Even now, I feel like I just have the faintest understanding of what that means, and I still struggle sometimes to believe it and receive it in my times of weakness. But you have been seeking me and pursuing me my whole life, and I know you are seeking and pursuing every single person in this room, and that your heart is for them, and that you are saying, come to me. I delight in you. I delight in you, my child. Will you come to me? My arms are open. My arms are waiting for you. He said, let the little children come to me. I will not turn them away. They're all his little children here. And he will not turn you away. He is not one to withhold himself from his beloved. So I just pray for those who have never tasted of this, who believe in you. Their faith is there, but they have just held you at arm's length, because I don't think that you want to come any closer. Lord, I just ask that you would just remove that lie right now in the name of Jesus. Would you remove that lie? You desire every single person here. You did not create them to sit at a distance from you. You made them so that you could delight in fellowship with them. So I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just come, and that you would just shower them with your glory and shower them with your love, that they would meet you, that they would encounter you right now in the wilderness and be changed. And I just pray for those who have tasted of you, who have been in your glory, but who have just wandered a little and are just sitting in the desert right now for whatever reason and just don't remember how to come back, and they're just crying out for a drink. Lord, would you just plunge them into the river? Would you plunge them into the river of your love and your delight and your glory? Would they not even be able to stand because of the weight of your glory? Would it be so tangible and so heavy that they don't want to leave? They don't ever want to leave? That they would just grasp your hands because there's nothing else that they want? Would your Shekinah glory truly descend because we are so hungry for it? We are so, so hungry for you. We long for you. We long for your glory. We long to see your face. We're just waiting. We're just waiting until we can come face to face to you, Lord. So please come. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.